The grandfathers paid no attention to the fleeing boy at all, as Roland had felt sure they would not. He knew from Per Callahan's story that one of the grandfathers had come to the little town of Salem's Lot, where the pair had for a while preached. The pair had lived through the experience, not common for those who faced such monsters after losing their weapons and sigils of power, but the thing had forced Callahan to drink of its tainted blood before letting him go. It had marked him for these others. Callahan was holding his cross sigil out toward them, but before Roland could see anything else, he was exhaled back into darkness. The chimes began again, all but driving him mad with their awful tintinnabulation. Somewhere, faintly, he could hear Eddie shouting. Roland reached for him in the dark, brushed Eddie's arm, lost it, found his hand, and seized it. They rolled over and over, clutching each other, trying not to be separated, hoping not to be lost in the doorless dark between the worlds. Chapter 3. Eddie Makes a Call. 1. Eddie returned to John Cullum's old car the way he'd sometimes come out of nightmares as a teenager, tangled up and panting with fright, totally disoriented, not sure who he was, let alone where. He had a second to realize that, incredible as it seemed, he and Roland were floating in each other's arms like unborn twins in the womb, only this was no womb. A pen and a paperclip were drifting in front of his eyes. So was a yellow plastic case he recognized as an 8-track tape. "Don't waste your time, John," he thought. "No true thread there. That's a dead-end gadget if there ever was one." Something was scratching the back of his neck. Was it the dome light of John Cullum's scourgy old galaxy? By God, he thought it was. Then gravity reasserted itself, and they fell with meaningless objects raining down all around them.